One of the great gifts of the church are the sacraments. Those things we know as the outward and visible signs of inward and a spiritual truth. The church holds in its history and traditions a way to symbolically mark the passing of our human lives, of the journey of life. One reason sacraments are public events is that even those who simply witness a baptism, as we're about to do in a few minutes, or a marriage, or a burial, participate through your presence, through being here in that sacrament. What I mean is, and you probably have experienced this, if you're a married couple and you're sitting in a marriage liturgy of another couple, you inevitably think about your own relationship, your own day of marriage. Likewise, if you're in a burial liturgy, we cannot help but consider that ultimate reality as well in the liturgy for the burial of the dead, our own mortality and what that means. And today, this morning, as Ellie and George come to receive the sacrament of baptism, we remember and we renew as they become baptized into the life of faith, the promises that we made or were made for us at our baptisms. Baptism for Christians is the central sacrament. It's the central, key, primary birthright of our life with Christ. It signifies that we are intimately related and connected to God. So intimate are we connected to God that God actually calls us by name. It's the bold Christian claim that God is not some remote, impersonal, or abstract being distant from us, but that God is actually with us. God is being itself. God is presence. It's saying that God, though often seemingly absent, is a part of our everyday lives, the comings and goings of our lives. Baptism reminds us of this realization that God is not abstract, out there somewhere, distant from us, but is always working through our lives, every moment of our lives. That is, after all, the mystery of the Incarnation, which we're celebrating now in these great 50 days of Easter, that a man who lived and walked the earth, as you and I do, died and is raised to new life, and now encounters his friends, the disciples. That God is as close to us as we are to one another. There's a story, it's a true story, of a successful lawyer who had great success on the outside, but his life was falling apart on the inside. His marriage was coming to an end. He had debts he could not pay. He was drinking too much. He was lonely. He was anxious. He was afraid of what the future held. He had been a nominal Christian his whole life, but his reason and rationality had caused him to be suspicious of the existence of God, or at least of God being concerned about his life and his suffering and his pain. He dismissed the notion that God really cared anything about him personally. This lawyer had one great passion outside of his work, and it was music. He loved music. He especially loved classical music, Bach. He loved the beauty and the precision of Bach's fugues. One afternoon, this man was driving home to his empty apartment. He was at the end of his rope, really, near great despair, and he pounds the steering wheel with open palms and cries out, "God, God, if you're really there, you're going to have to say something. You know what kind of man I am. You know I'm reasonable, rational, no messing around here. You're going to have to speak to me in a language that I can understand. Speak to me, God," the lawyer cried out. Just then, the radio had been on in the background. Just then, Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring, comes on to the classical radio station that the man listens to. He couldn't believe it. Right at that moment, the music that he loved comes on the radio from the composer that was his favorite. He cried and laughed at the same time. What a strange but wonderful word given to him. How improbable that this song would come on at that moment. You see, that's a contemporary version of Thomas, isn't it? Thomas, rational, reasonable. I want to see for myself. I want to put my finger in the nail-scarred hands. And Jesus comes and he puts his finger in the nail-scarred hands. And he believes. Faith is like that. Faith, for some of us, is that plea to God to say, "God, I need to know. I need to see." Faith for others comes more gently, more easily. So maybe you've never had a dramatic experience like sort of daring God and God responding in kind. But somewhere, I bet, in your life, as you think over it, you can say, "That was God doing that. I don't understand how that happened. I can only say that that must have been the Lord reaching out to me." All of us, at one time or another, have experienced grace, something that we can't explain, that is only received as a gift from one who is the giver of all gifts. Baptism calls us into a way of life with God. And in a moment, promises will be made that George and Ellie will live their lives into, even now as they don't understand the fullness of those promises. They are committing themselves to a life as followers of Christ. The rules are really simple. Love God, love others. Love God and love others. From the waters of baptism, we are born, all of us, into a life of loving God and loving everything that God loves, which is all of life. There is the sure and certain promise that as we seek to see the face of Christ in every person, as we seek to see the face of Christ in every person, and as we seek to respect the dignity of every human being, we discover the life that comes from that. And we discover that we ourselves are those faces, and that we are not alone. From the first word of creation that God spoke to being in our lives this very moment, God is with us. This is what we know. The voice that Jesus heard at the River Jordan at his baptism, "You are my beloved, in you I am well pleased," is the same voice that Ellie and George hear this morning. It's the voice of that loving God who tenderly says to them and to each of us, "You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased. I am with you always."